Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Together, we will turn our shared concern about the state of our environment into a force for change. It will require you to reimagine the role of your home kitchen as more than a warehouse of food or a room where we cook and gather to eat. The time has come to enter your kitchen with eyes open to the transformative power it harnesses for the planet and you. The home kitchen has always been ground zero for positive environmental and social change, waiting for you to take your position as a kitchen activist. Now that you arrived, you will change the world with what you eat. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here to learn how we can partner together to create a better world for all of us. And today my heart is heavy. I was looking over newspaper articles about what's happening in Libya, where literally 5,000 people and counting have been swept away by heavy rains. And when we talk about climate change, it really comes down to how does that impact water systems around the world? Warming temperatures is causing more water to move around our planet with glacier melts. Glaciers and icebergs are truly the freezers of this planet. And when temperatures rise, that means these masses of water that should be frozen are not, and they've turned into water that can then be evaporated and move around our globe in the form of clouds and rain. And then when it dumps ferociously, as the people of Libya are now experiencing some serious hardships, and it's just, it feels like every day there's extreme weather taking place somewhere around the globe. And sometimes it's close by and sometimes it's on the other side of the planet. But either way, we are so connected. We're so connected to each other. It's an illusion to think that we're separated by borders or by ethnicities or whatever the different silos that we put ourselves in. We are all in this together. So with that, it's an interesting segue, but I want to talk about organizing your kitchen, because here again, it's these really big things that are happening around the planet, and we could either choose to feel disconnected from them or overwhelmed by it, or we can be kitchen activists and move into action, because our food is a leading contributor to what is happening on the planet that we want to stop, like climate change. In fact, one of the things that has happened in Libya is deforestation. And without those root systems, the land cannot absorb water. If there's more water cycling through the system, we need our soil to absorb water. And any time that we apply pesticides on land, these chemicals or petroleum-based fertilizers, essentially whenever we place fossil fuels in any form on our land, what we're doing is we're diminishing the capacity of that soil to hold water. And now more than ever, we need our soil to draw down water faster and more efficiently. We need our forests and our root systems so water can be trapped. And so instead of just sliding off land and sweeping crops away, livelihoods away, sweeping people away, we can return health to our soil so that our soil can draw those raindrops downward and replenish our starved underground lakes, these ancient lakes, these aquifers that are diminishing faster than they can be replenished, partially because anytime it rains, 80% of that is lost to evaporation and runoff from diminished soil quality, and whatever we haven't paved, we've killed. Much of that comes back to how are we growing food? Is the cultivation of our food reliant on fossil fuels? And the answer is yes. Is it reliant on clear-cutting forests? And the answer is yes. But we can change it one kitchen at a time. It can begin with my kitchen. It could begin with your kitchen. And we can merge that influence. Last week's episode was about how September or autumn is such a fantastic time to make New Year's resolutions, more than January 1st. And what can you do for your New Year's resolution as a kitchen activist to make positive changes? For me, it was to reorganize my pantry that needed some serious help. Because just like anything else, you can't just do it once and expect that it's going to remain that way. It's a constant nurturing and a cultivation and improving. And that certainly is a case in our kitchen organization systems. I've tried so many different organization systems over time to realize they were misguided. And the reason is because so much emphasis on kitchen organization, whether it's our refrigerators, our freezers, our kitchen cabinets, our pantries, when we look at them in magazines, in the gloss of a magazine, or in a Pinterest post, it is very much about the aesthetic of it. And that's been the case. If you go back to those vintage ads for the refrigerator, for example, you see the interior of these refrigerators that have Jell-O parfaits ready with the whipped cream on them in a row and the milk on the door, which is not the place you want to put milk. It wasn't about how can we preserve food the longest, but these models that we have been given over and over again are really about what does it look like, the aesthetic of it. As a kitchen activist, I'm going to ask that you step away from what looks pretty or what looks good versus the first goal is how can I preserve my food so that I don't waste it, so that I can be part of the solution with my food, so that I can not contribute to 43% of all food waste occurring in the home kitchen, but that you and I can help to lower that number, to lower that percentage number to less than 10%, right? We cannot be wasting and sending food to our landfills that's causing methane gas emissions, which is even worse than carbon emissions. The book that I'm writing right now, The Kitchen Activist, I have a whole section on organizing your kitchen. Because an organized kitchen is a necessary ingredient to kitchen activism. I tell you, shop your kitchen first, go to the farmer's market and meal plan. But we bring all of this food into our homes and we want to make sure that one, we're not wasting it because of the water footprint and all of the resources lost, but also the money lost. The average family throws away about $2,800 worth of food each year. In the book I'm writing, The Kitchen Activist, I begin with the refrigerator, and only because that's where most of our waste is coming from. But today I'm going to spend some time on the pantry, because what I realized after just doing it myself is when we reimagine the space of our pantry, it is attached to all the other cabinets in your kitchen. So be ready. Like, you need to give yourself an entire day for this project. Put on some good music, you know, have some nice snacks for yourself ready. Make it a fun thing. It feels so good afterwards to have that organization in place. But it doesn't have to be drudgery as you're doing it too. It could be the whole process should feel good. So Anyways, music really helps me make anything feel fun. When you take everything out of your pantry, I really encourage you to start purging those things that you don't use. Those extra bowls, those pots and pans that aren't ever used. What are the things that you don't need? Those small appliances that you thought were a good idea and maybe were a good idea at one point, but they've already outlived their run in your kitchen. We don't have a lot of space in our kitchen, irregardless of how big your kitchen is or how small. We just don't have a lot of space. So anything that we have, we don't want lots of duplication, and we want to make sure it's useful. Because if we are crowding out our cabinets with stuff, then the food stuff gets less space. And when the food stuff has less space, that means there's more waste, because we want to approach our pantry and a refrigerator as though you're in a grocery store. You can see what's there. That's a big piece. We need to see what's in our kitchens so that we can shop our kitchen first, right? When I talk about building a meal plan and a shopping list, I say we need to shop our kitchens first, then the farmer's market, then the grocery store. We can't shop our kitchens first if it's a mess, if things are crowded, if there's no system, regardless if we're talking about the pantry or the refrigerator. You can't see it. If you can't see it, you're going to lose it, and it'll get stale or bad before you have a chance to eat it. And that's a waste of resources, waste of water, waste of money. Think about your kitchen. Think about it as more than a place to cook and eat, but as a warehouse for food. And like a manager of a food warehouse or a grocery store, our job is to find the right temperature and placement for our food where it has the longest shelf life. So the goal for a kitchen activist pantry is to extend the storage life of food to reduce food waste, save money, and save water. I'm going to break it down into a few steps that I use to approach my kitchen activist pantry makeover. So the first is to reimagine the space. So before you even start, sketch the shape of it, because we all have different shapes. It might be that it's in different cupboards versus in just one spot. Look at how can you utilize the storage space everywhere in your kitchen. When I did this, I realized how I was not utilizing the space on top of my refrigerator. There was a few bins that I had inside of my pantry, and now they live on top of my refrigerator. They look great. They're foods that will do okay up there. And it opens up more space in my pantry because, again, we don't have a lot of space to lose in our pantries and inside the shelves of our kitchen. So identify the shape of your pantry space, right? For me, I have one big pantry with two large doors that swing open, and I have some shelves on my wall where I decant food into mason jars, and I also have now the top of my refrigerator. So that is the shape of my pantry. Sketch all of those areas of your pantry on a piece of paper and begin to approach the design as though you're organizing for a grocery store, where everything on the shelf is visible. This is also why I'm not a big fan of those bulk shopping warehouse to buy food, because unless you come together to purchase food, for example, I've gone and I've seen that they've had organic breads at a really good price. So from a price perspective, it makes sense, but not so much when you're just buying for one kitchen. The organic bread, I think it was like Dave's organic bread is what they were selling. And it was two extra long loaves in one package. And I think it was under $10, which was a great price. If I were to share that with three other people, it would make sense It'd be great, actually, a wonderful deal. But I don't have a buying club in place for those bulk warehouse stores. Instead, what ends up happening is if you're shopping that way and you're not sharing the food with others and instead you're bringing it all into your pantry and in your refrigerator, what happens is that then you're crowding everything else out. So you're not saving money over time, but you're losing money and you're wasting so much food because you can't see anything. Because it's so important things are made visible when you tackle the organization of your kitchens. Because the goal is to find a system to make it easy to shop your kitchen first when writing your weekly meal plan and shopping list. And with proper storage, you'll waste less food. So some of the ideas for organizing your pantry food are bins. I'm a big fan of transparent bins in the refrigerator, but also in the pantry. Glass jars for decanting, because you can see again what it is, and I label the glass jars. Lazy Susans. I love Lazy Susans for condiments like oils, sauces, balsamic vinegars. All of those things are really great in a Lazy Susan. Clips. We have lots of clips for chips, for any kind of bag. Those bags of chips or popcorn or whatever it is that your kids are asking you to get are so expensive, and it kills me. It kills me from an environmental perspective to throw away these snacks because they weren't closed properly and they're stale, but also because they're so expensive, like $5, $6 for these bags of snacks. What I've done is I teach the kids, like, if I find something that has gone stale, it's usually because it was not folded properly and clipped. Just having it clipped is not enough. It needs to be folded. The air needs to be squeezed out. And I've started to clip, especially if it's something like, say, a veggie chip or a popcorn. I find that it needs two clips. That's another ally for preserving food longer are clips. Extra shelves. You're losing a lot of space because the food you have is shallow and you have that top space. Well, create another shelf. They sell those at the Container Store, at Target, where you can capture some of that space that's lost. Stackable containers. I'm big on stackable containers that fit within each other. So purchasing the same type. Make sure that you just keep with that brand so that they work together. For wall hooks and pegboards are also a good way to utilize your space in your pantry. Take inventory of the organizing tools that you have. I mean, shop your house first and label things. So once you've decided, for example, this is where the cereals are going to go, label that so that everyone knows, including yourself, where to put things back. Number two is to let temperature and light dictate your food placement. Since I moved out of my parents' house, I've moved into a dozen kitchens at least. And each time I contemplate where to put things, and my kitchen storage design is based on proximity to the kitchen sink, where I put my dishes and cups and glasses, always seems to take precedence over food storage. But for a kitchen activist pantry makeover, this needs to be guided by temperature, not by proximity to the kitchen sink. So for example, heat from the oven and stovetop and direct sunlight, even part of the day, shorten the storage life for all food. So these warmer spots in your kitchen are the best spots to store your plates, cups, pans, mixing bowls, etc., regardless if they are right next to the kitchen sink. So start to look around and see where are things? Where do you currently keep your food? our cereals and grains on an open shelf exposed to direct light? Is your rice and flour directly next to the oven? That's really important to notice in your own kitchen. So again, temperature and light dictate your food placement. It might be that you need to do a complete overhaul, and maybe it's time to swap your dishes for where your pantry's at. Again, this is all guided by your kitchen. Each of our kitchens is different and unique. So 3 is to empty and clean. So once you've done those things, then start to take everything out. I think it's a great idea if you have a portable table, if you know that this is going to take longer than a few hours, or because you still need to eat, we all still need to sit down and eat dinner or make dinner. What I find that works is to get out a portable table and put the contents on that portable table and use that as a temporary working surface. So empty the pantry and wipe down all the surfaces before you begin the organization process. So start taking inventory. Clear out old items. You can easily see what's left to organize and assign storage containers. Group ingredients together, thinking as though you are working in the grocery store. You're going to put all the cereals together, all the different sauces together, the pastas together. Think about what are all the groupings of things. They shouldn't be scattered around a pantry. Snack foods, put that together. So just decide what are the groups that makes sense in your pantry. And then label everything. Label, label, label. Those are so useful, not just in your refrigerator, but also on your dry goods. I label jars, containers, bins. All of those things need to have labels on them. I'm going to stop it there. I hope that was motivating. Another fun thing to do, because I'm all about having fun every day. Like, it's a goal. It's on my to-do list, is have fun. Because if as kids, we don't need to be reminded. But as we get older, we need to be reminded to have fun. And this too can be fun. What if you have a friend come over and work together, because two minds are better than one, to come up with organization strategies? So one day you're at one house working on kitchen organization, and then another day you go to the other. You just swap kitchens, which would be it would be such a fun thing to do. And I'm just going to end it with the idea that you do not have to be a master organizer to do this. I have never been someone that people thought about as this organized person. I am not a Marie Kondo. I did not spend my youth poring over organization magazines like she did. I became a kitchen organizer only after I became an activist. When I realized the connection between our food and the environment, then it all started to come together as, what are the ways that I can be of service to this planet and to my community? So that's how I came to kitchen organization. It is not something that's in me as a talent. It's a talent that has been cultivated, and I still work at it. Don't let this be a process about gorgeous interior landscapes happening inside of your refrigerator and in your pantry so that you can post it on Pinterest. No, this is not about that. This is about being driven by our shared passion to make a positive difference on this planet, and knowing that this is one of the ways that we can be useful and we can make a difference. Any of us can have an organized kitchen, and know that it doesn't always stay organized, because it's something that you just have to keep working at. But once you have the right systems, then you can easily go back and just do a refresh and change things up and know that things are always going to change. The seasons might change, the types of foods that you have in your pantry, people moving in, people moving out. That also changes the types of foods that we store in our pantries. And that's okay. We adjust, and it's not a static system, but it's something that we do need to pay attention to if we are going to be kitchen activists and to stop wasting so much food and to pay respect to the people who make this food for us, especially when you start going out to farmers markets and you make those connections. Like for me, when I bring food in, it's attached to the people who cultivated the food, which is part of the richness when you start to build those relationships with food makers, farmers, and food artisans who are aligning themselves with the solution. So when we're doing that, it's also paying respect to those people, because if I'm throwing out, say, a bundle of Swiss chard that I know I purchased from Jose, I feel bad, not just because of the water and the money, but also because Jose worked hard to harvest this food for me and shows up every Sunday at the farmer's market, rain or shine, to sell his produce. So I want to honor the people who put in the time and energy and work to bring that food to my plate or to my pantry. And the way that I do it is by keeping it organized. So I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will be back again next Wednesday. Until then, be well, be resplendent, be a kitchen activist. Let's stay connected. Sign up for my newsletter and receive more tips in your inbox weekly and 15% off your first purchase at the Eat Less Water Shop. You can also find me on your favorite social media space at Eat Less Water. Please remember to hit subscribe and leave a review, even if it's only the star rating, because every one of them will increase the chances of other like-minded folks to find us. Thank you for joining me on this journey to eat less water. Together, we will write the story of well-being for this planet we have the privilege to call home. Meet you back here every Wednesday. There is power in the collective.